Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everybody. Oh, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. So we got here this morning, and then tomorrow morning is my last session with you guys. We've had such a great time. We always love coming to Servants of Jesus and this Holy Spirit Conference. We love it. Every other year we've been coming, and we'll see what the Lord does in the future. But we're glad we're here now. And I'm wondering, with the youth conference that's going on, are you guys having another separate thing tomorrow, or are you guys with us? You're with us. Okay, great. Awesome. That's wonderful. Because Stephanie has a prophetic word for you, so I'm going to wait till tomorrow, though. We're going to hold it till tomorrow in the main meeting. So, yeah, we're going to hold it for tomorrow in the bigger setting. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Steph, why don't you come on up and just say, why don't you welcome Stephanie this morning? She's going to just share with you guys.
I wanted to deliver the word today. The suspense now. You'll have to come tomorrow to hear it. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Did everyone get some good sleep last night? We set two alarms this morning. We wanted to make sure that we got up. All of a sudden, I hear this classical music playing in the room. I'm like, what is that? So Matt had set the radio alarm, so that was going, which was good. I just wanted to give you guys a quick encouraging word this morning. I really feel like the Lord is bringing the church into a new season of fearlessness and boldness. I feel like we're going to be coming out of hiding, and God is going to give his people an anointing to be fearless and bold in our faith and in our love for people. And I just wanted to read a scripture from Romans 12, verse 5 to 6, because I think something that hinders us maybe from being bold or being fearless and who we're created to be is sometimes we compare ourselves to other people, or we have fear. Fear is a huge hindrance in us fulfilling our destiny or truly stepping out and taking risks. So I wanted to read Romans 12, verse 5 to 6 as just a compliment to what I'm saying. I'm reading from the Message version because I really like that translation. So it says, "So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't." Isn't that an awesome translation? I love that. Let's just go ahead and be who we were made to be. We're all part of the functioning body of Christ, and we all have to play our roles in order for the fullness and wholeness of Christ's body to function properly. And oftentimes, like it says in the scripture, we compare ourselves with each other and try to be something we aren't, when in fact God has created us uniquely to function in our own unique ways and to be who God has created us to be. So I just want to encourage you to be yourself, to step out in who you are, to function in your giftings and not compare yourself to each other. We need to learn to celebrate each other. We need to learn to champion each other. And I feel like as we understand this, we'll come together in unity and step out in boldness in who God has created us to be. Also, we can dismantle fear in our lives. We don't have to have fear, because there's no such thing as failure in God. I feel like we have fear because we fear failure. We fear taking risks. We fear stepping out because there's a chance that we might make a mistake. There's a chance that we might fail. But I came to a revelation that the Father's love is unconditional, meaning that it is without condition, meaning that we don't have to earn it and we don't have to work for it. We can receive it freely and it can't be removed from us. So in this revelation, I realized, wow, God, I can't fail because you always accept me. You always see me as successful, even when I step out and even if I make a mistake. Your love for me is always there. I don't have to feel scared that love is going to be taken away, because you always accept me. You always see me as valuable, and your love for me is without condition. So there's no such thing as failure. So that means we don't have to have fear. So we can step out in boldness. We can come out of hiding. We can truly blossom in who God has created us to be. We can celebrate the giftings inside of us that God has given us, and we can celebrate the giftings in each other. And together, we can function as Christ's body and truly see his kingdom come to earth. Amen. So I just wanted to declare that over you, because I feel like this is something God is doing in this season, and it's a revelation he wants to give us as his children. So Father, I just want to declare over your people that we would arise and shine, that we would grow in boldness, that you would endow us with boldness and with fearlessness. Thank you, Father, that your love for us is without condition, that we don't have to earn it, that it is freely given. So that means that we can step out. We can step out and take risks. We can step out and love people fearlessly. I thank you, Father, for your love that is without condition, and that you love us so much as your children, and that we don't have to fear failure. So, Father, again, cause us to arise and shine in our faith. Cause us to arise and shine in who we are created to be and who you've created us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yay! And I just quickly wanted to honor Simon and Paula. I just feel like God really wants to honor you guys as parents. And I hear him saying that everything that you've poured into your children, it matters and it makes a difference. And you both truly have a gift of being a mother and a father. And he's given you gifts of encouragement and support. And it's not only impacting the lives of your kids, but I feel like God has or is going to bring spiritual children into your life for you to father and to mother. And he's just saying that your love matters, your support matters, your encouragement matters, and it's making a difference. So I just wanted to honor you publicly as amazing parents. Because I see it. I see it all over you. You're welcome. Awesome. This is fun. I'm going to pass it over to my husband.
There you go.
Good job, baby.
Love you.
Okay, awesome. Turn in your Bibles to John 14. So now, when I was telling Stephanie this morning on the way to the church, you know, when you're in Bible school and you take preaching class, you learn all different styles and forms of preaching and teaching. Some are topical preaching, you know, you get a topic, and then you get all the scriptures on it and illustrations, and you preach on a topic. Sometimes you preach or teach exegetically, where you go to a specific portion of scripture, and you go line upon line. And I love John chapter 14. So this morning, I want to spend some time reading through John 14 together and pausing at different moments to highlight some amazing revelation found in this specific chapter of scripture. So I'm going to start to read in verse 1, John 14. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, or agitated." Now, I like to read from the Amplified Bible, because it takes the Greek and expounds it, and it, you know, it adds a few more words. And I don't know if you know this, but the Amplified Bible was written by a woman, scholar. Praise God. God uses women. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. So it's, you know, but it makes sense, though, that, you know, it's a woman scholar, because, like, for every one word in the normal translation, it gives five words. Hey, man, come on. I call it the communication Bible, because it really wants to communicate and make sure you understand what's being said. Okay? So don't let your hearts be troubled or distressed or agitated. Don't let your hearts be agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust and rely also on me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places or homes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Now, this is an amazing thing. Jesus, when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he said, "I'm going ahead of you, and I'm preparing a home for you. I'm preparing a place for you." This is a great funeral scripture. But it's not a funeral today. But this is a great scripture, though, because it's like when our hearts want to get agitated by temporal things, okay? Has anyone here ever had an agitated heart where just by, you know, temporal things are going on? We have to remind ourselves that it's temporal. But Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a home, a dwelling place for us. And he says, don't let your heart be agitated. Don't let that overtake you. Focus on this. Believe in God and believe in me. Rely on God and rely on me. I have gone ahead of you, and I am preparing a place for you. So praise God. Even though we may have moments of agitation here, one day we're going to be forever with the Lord in this place. So that's wonderful. And then it says, and when I go, I make ready a place for you. I will come back again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is a great scripture, even on understanding eternal life. Eternal life, because there's a lot of people in the world that they wonder where they're going to go when they die. They don't know what's after death. It's a big mystery to them. And that, like Stephanie was saying, that fear. You know, people have fear because they don't know what's next. But we know what's next. So we don't have to have any fear. Hallelujah. We don't have to have any fear. So he's going to take us to himself and to the place where I am going. You know the way. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. I mean, just ponder that statement for a moment. Jesus said, I am the way. God made a very clear way to him through Jesus. I am the way. He said, I am the truth. If you ever want to know truth, know Jesus and study the teachings of Jesus. That's absolute truth. And he says, I'm the life. There's life in Jesus. If you had known me, had learned to recognize me, you would also have known my Father. Wow. If you had known me, you would also have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. That is all we ask. Then we shall be satisfied. And Jesus replied, have I been with all of you for so long a time? And do you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does the works, his own miracles, deeds of power. This is an amazing statement. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Pause on that thought for a second. That's a big statement. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. God the Father is spirit. He's invisible to us in this dimension. God the Father is so almost outside of human comprehension. Have you ever, I mean, sometimes, you know, if you take a step back and you really think about God, outside of time, existed, never had a beginning, doesn't have an end. He's outside the realm of time. He's created everything. Like, what is God? Where did he come from? I mean, do you ever ask yourselves these questions? Like God. Okay, he's invisible. We can't see him. He's outside of our understanding of time. He has no beginning, no end. He always existed. You see, because we are finite, created people with a beginning, it's very hard for our minds to understand how there can be something that never had a beginning. Because it's in another dimension. It's in another realm. It's in a whole other thing. And sometimes we can feel like God is so far away, like he's this spirit floating in space somewhere. And that, for me, that is what God was before I came to know Jesus. That's why Jesus is so important. Because my comprehension of God as a young person was that he was this force, this power that was somewhere outside beyond the universe, so far out of my reach. And he was there somewhere, but not touchable, not attainable, not relational. And then Jesus comes along and he says, if you see me, if you hear me, you see the Father. You hear the Father. What was Jesus saying? And this is the most amazing thing about God, who is outside the realm of time, that he came in the form of a man, brought himself into our dimension, brought himself into our space of time, And then everything Jesus said, everything he did, he said, when you hear me speak, you hear the Father. When you see me act, you see the Father. Why did God send Jesus? Yes, it was to save man from their sin. But there's a whole other reason. God sent Jesus so that we could understand who God is. What his thoughts are, what his ways are, what his nature is like. And all we have to do is simply read the words of Jesus and study the life of Jesus, and we get 100% revelation of this distant God. And he becomes so personal and so close and so graspable and understandable that he is not just a distant force somewhere watching the world that he created. Created the world, then stands back and just watches it from a distance. No, he is actively involved in his creation. So he sent Jesus. And here's the most amazing thing. Jesus said, you see me, you see this invisible God. You hear me, you hear this invisible God. That's why when it comes to all of our theology and all of our belief systems, it's not just based on what we want to believe. It's based on what Jesus revealed to us, right? Because we can have all sorts of doctrines and all sorts of belief systems. We can make up whatever and people do. People make up all sorts of belief systems based on their own ideas. But we have absolute truth as Christians, absolute truth, and all we have to do is read the words of Jesus and study the life of Jesus, and we have the privilege of having an intimate insight into this God that is so beyond human understanding. We have the privilege of having an intimate insight into his thoughts, his ways, and of who he is. Isn't that amazing? So like when we say, is it God's will to heal? I mean, we could, like, all these different questions people have. Is it God's will? Is it God's will to heal? Is it God's will to save all people? What is God's heart concerning the suffering of mankind? All of these questions that people have. The way I find the answers is not by my own ideas. It's by what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? So when the leper, let's talk about healing. Can we just talk about healing for a second? When you look at the life of Jesus, here's a great doctrine of healing. If you have ever wondered, is it really God's will? Is it really God's will to heal someone? How do you know that? How do you know the mind of this all-powerful force out there? How do you know? Well, when you look at the life of Jesus, you never see one person ever while Jesus was on this earth come to Jesus and say, Jesus, will you heal me? And Jesus turned to that person and say no. You cannot find one example in Scripture of Jesus saying no to someone. Even the leper asked this age-old question. The leper came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I know you have the power, but is it your will to heal me? And Jesus turned to that leper, and he answered this question of God's will to heal. And he said, yes, I am willing. Be cleansed. And that leper was instantly healed. You see, because the leper asked the question, I know you have the power, but is it your will? And Jesus said, yes, I am willing. And when Jesus said it, it revealed to us God's heart. It was Jesus' heart and God's heart. And Jesus said, yes, I am willing. And it's the same for us. It's the same for us. Every person that reached out in faith to Jesus, every person that reached out in faith either to have their sins forgiven, to have their sickness healed, or to be delivered and set free, Jesus healed them all. He forgave them all. He never rejected or turned one person away. Oh, praise God. This gives us a lot of faith. This gives us faith that we can really believe God. That when we go to him and pray, that he hears us and that it is his will to answer us and to bring answers to our prayers. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. When you see me, you see the Father. When you hear me, you hear the Father. That statement is something really worth pondering and thinking on and meditating on. Okay, let's keep reading. It says, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you. Oh, wow. Get ready for this statement. If anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. What a statement. I mean, if the last statement he made was amazing, this statement is even more amazing. Because now he says, hey, if you believe in me, you're going to be able to do the same things that I did. Why? Because I go to the Father. Why is that significant? Because when Jesus went to the Father, what happened? He sent the Holy Spirit. And because he sent the Holy Spirit, we receive an empowerment from God to be able to do the same things Jesus did. And the key is if you believe in me. Come on, church, we have to believe. We have to believe. Believe in Jesus, believe in his words, believe in his promises, believe. Because when you believe, it opens up the door for the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to operate in you and through you. Oh, praise God. Jesus said, I go to the Father. Because I go to the Father, you're going to do even greater works. This is not just a good idea. This is not just good theology. This is real. Because of this, we will do even greater works than Jesus did. Do we believe it? See, that's the question. Do we believe it? And sometimes we have to hear it over and over and over again, and it's got to get inside of our hearts until we believe it. Okay. Then it says, and I will do, listen to this one, whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in the Son. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father is glorified. When we pray in the name of Jesus, when we pray in the name of Jesus, God wants to answer those prayers because it brings glory to God. Can I tell you, childlike faith is such a key to this. And it goes back to, again, where Jesus said, if you believe, you will be able to do even greater works. If you believe, when you pray, I'll answer you. And I want to answer you because it brings glory to my Father. I remember when we were very first saved. I was 14 years old. We were basically unchurched. We didn't go to church. We didn't learn theology from church. When we first got saved, our belief system was formed in those early years just by reading the Bible. I mean, I think church is amazing. We need to go to church and attend and be a part of community. But for us in the beginning, when we first encountered God, we opened up the Bible and started to read it. And because of the supernatural healing of my mom, I and my family had such faith that every word in the Bible was true because we saw a miracle happen. And Jesus even said, if you don't believe me, believe, at least believe the miracles that you see. Believe in me because you see the miracles. And I tell you what, when I saw that miracle in my mom's life, I believed in Jesus real fast. I believed in him real fast. And when I opened up the Bible and read it, I believed 100%. With such a pure childlike faith, I believed 100% every word I read. It was untainted childlike faith. I had not heard any doctrine of man yet. I hadn't heard man's interpretation of Scripture yet. I hadn't been taught, you know, the different ways to interpret Scripture. I just read the Bible and believed exactly what it said. And can I tell you, with that childlike faith, when we were that young in the Lord, just saved, every prayer we prayed was saturated with childlike faith, and we had instant answers to every prayer we prayed. I'm telling you, there's something to it, church. There's something to maturing into childlikeness. There's something into not maturing into unbelief, but maturing into childlikeness. And there is no place ever in the Bible where God calls us his adults. You never mature in God's eyes to be an adult. You are always his child. He always calls us his children. You see, and the key is, don't mature into unbelief, because this happens to people. They mature into unbelief. Mature into childlikeness. Don't let man's interpretation, don't let circumstances of life rob your childlike faith. This is why the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Don't let your faith go. Don't let it go. I remember. I think back to my parents, and I remember my mom had such faith in the blood of Jesus. She put the blood of Jesus on everything. I mean, because the blood of Jesus healed her. So she had high faith in the blood. She put the blood on everything. She'd pray the blood of Jesus on every single thing, on our home, on us, on her car, on everything. Everything covered under the blood. And then we started going to church. And the preacher gets up there and says, all you people that think you can use the blood of Jesus like a rabbit's foot. All you people that think you just say the blood of Jesus. And it was an interpretation from man that began to inject man's thoughts. And I remember my mom went running out of that meeting crying. She's like, no, the blood of Jesus. You know, we have to be careful not to let our faith get robbed through wrong interpretation of Scripture or man's opinion. Look, there is power in the blood of Jesus. You put the blood of Jesus on everything. Put the blood of Jesus on your mind, on your spirit, on your soul, on your body, on your house, on your car, on your children, on your marriage, on everything. Cover everything with the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is powerful. The blood of Jesus forgives sin. The blood of Jesus protects against darkness. The blood of Jesus protects against sickness. Put the blood, when you pray, put the blood of Jesus on everything. Praise God. So, I will do whatever you ask in my name. I will grant whatever you shall ask in my name. If you really, now look, if you really love me, now I'm about to make a statement here about love. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. Okay, now we can either say amen or ouch to this statement. If you love me, you will obey my commands. You know what I heard a preacher say this recently. You know what the love language of heaven is? It's obedience. It's, look, you could look at what we're getting just from one chapter in John, just from one chapter in the Bible. Look at what we're seeing in this one chapter. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. It really is true. The love language of heaven is obedience. You see, because love is not just words. Love is action. When our hearts love God, we will obey him. And I want to encourage you in that. It is not, obedience to God is not religiosity. You see, because there are some people today, they teach a form of the grace of God. And what they do is they go to such an extreme that they totally discount obedience to God. If you love God, you will obey him. Oh, this is a challenging word for all of us. Because when we read this scripture, it's like a mirror held up in front of us. And then we really have to see, okay, are we hearing the word of God and obeying it? Or where are we being disobedient to the word of God? Where are we hearing the word but not acting on it? Where are we hearing the word but not being a doer of it? You see, and there's another scripture about that too. Don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of the word. Because when we obey God, it is an expression of our love for God. It's not religiosity. It's love. We obey because we love. So when we read the scripture and we follow the teachings of God, we obey those teachings because we love God. And it's action that reveals our heart. Amen? So the love language of heaven is obedience. How many like this? Is this okay that we're preaching like this today? Okay, good, good, good. Praise God. I really felt like doing this morning. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, we go here. It says, if you really love me, you will keep my commands. You see, because the grace of God is not this thing that just says, okay, you love God. You know, it's like we do this. We do this even in life. You know, we act certain ways. And then, you know, people confront us on our behavior. And we're like, oh, you just don't know my heart. No, well, you know, a lot of times your action is revealed, reveals your heart. And this is where we have to say, ouch, sometimes. Because it's not just, oh, just know my heart, but I can act and behave any way I want to. No. You're out of the heart the mouth speaks. And really, out of the heart, you live your life. You live your life. And when you really love God, you want to obey. You want to please him. You want to. Right? So, if you really love me, you'll keep my commands. I will ask the Father. Oh, now this is such a good statement. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. And then the very next statement, he gives us such hope. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. Wow. That's the Holy Spirit, the comforter. Look, if you ever need counseling, Holy Spirit is the best counselor. If you need help, he's the best helper. If you need an intercessor, you have the Holy Spirit interceding for you. He is the counselor. He is the best counselor. He is the best helper, the best intercessor. He is your advocate. He's fighting for you because that's what an advocate does. An advocate fights for you. He is your advocate. He is your strengthener. He gives you strength. Wow. We'll learn a lot about the Holy Spirit just from this one scripture. And he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is in us. So in one statement, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And then the very next statement, he says, and I'm giving you the Comforter, who is going to strengthen you and help you and counsel you and fight for you. In other words, when Jesus says, obey God, he doesn't just say, okay, obey God in your own strength. He says, oh yeah, you're going to love me and you're going to obey me, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit that I'm giving to you. That's the real grace of God. That God says, be holy as I'm holy, but then he says, oh, and I'm going to really help you a lot to be holy. So we know we're not on our own. We're not left. See, religion points the finger and says, do this, do that, and then you're left on your own to try to be the best person you can be. Relationship with God says, be holy, be loving, forgive, be kind, have self-control. And then God says, oh yeah, and I love you so much that I'm going to really, really help you and empower you to do everything I've asked you to do. It's like God says, you know, do this, but then he gives you the tools to do it. He doesn't just leave you on your own to figure it out. Hallelujah. It's like God says, okay, be a doctor, and then he gives you the education to be a doctor. He doesn't say, be a doctor, and then put a scalpel in your hand. He gives you the tools to then be able to do everything he asks you to do. That's an amazing thing. That's the true grace of God. That's the true grace of God. So, I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, I want to look. I want to go down here a little bit. Verse 21, Jesus reemphasizes something. He says, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show myself to him. Okay, I want to pause on this for a moment. Because I don't know about you, but my heart is to really know God. My heart is to really have revelation of him. And to really know him. And it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Whoever really loves me, I will love him and I will reveal and manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. You know what happens when we love God and obey him? We enter into a deeper manifestation of having a revelation of who God is. He actually reveals himself on a deeper level to us. Every time you love God and obey him, he draws you closer and he reveals more of himself to you. And that's what Jesus promised. He said, if you love me and obey me, I am going to manifest and make myself very clearly known to you. So we have a promise in Scripture that as we walk this walk, that God is going to continually reveal more and more of himself to us. Praise God. Isn't this good? Okay. Then it says, Jesus answered, verse 23, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our special dwelling place with him. Wow. Verse 26, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, now I love how the Amplified says it. I'm going to wrap this up because time is getting away from us. The Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Standby. Okay, let me just say one more thing on this. If you ever feel like, God, I need someone to pray for me. I need an intercessor to pray for me. I want you to be encouraged this morning. You have an intercessor that is always praying for you. And it's the Holy Spirit. He's always praying for you. He's fighting for you. He's on your side. This is where we see religion puts God in a picture or in a perspective that he's this outside force just waiting to punish you. Where relationship, true relationship, says, no, I am for you. I'm fighting for you. I'm interceding for you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to counsel you. You see how Jesus takes God and makes him so personal and so close and intimate and real. The Comforter of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall everything I have told you. And peace I leave with you. And I want to share one more thought here. One more thought. Verse 30. I will not talk with you much more, for the Prince of the world is coming. Now this is a very important statement he makes. He has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me. Jesus said, Satan comes, but he has nothing in me, nothing in common with me, and he has no power over me. How many here today, you don't want the enemy to have any power over you at all? Okay, because Jesus just showed us how to get that. Jesus said the enemy comes, and the enemy was coming for Jesus. And Jesus said, he has nothing in common with me. He has nothing in me. He has no power over me. Why did the enemy have no power over Jesus? Because Jesus did he never opened up a door to darkness. And there was nothing in Jesus that had anything in common with the enemy. You see, when we obey God, what do? We shut the doors on the enemy. And in us, Satan has nothing in common with us. He has no claim on us. He has no place in us if we obey God and shut the doors on him. So if you want to, in your life, shut the door on the enemy and be able to say, Satan comes, but he has nothing in me. There's nothing in me. There's no part of me that has anything in common with him. Therefore, he has no power over you. You see? You see why obedience is so amazing? Because when you obey God, you slam the door on the face of the devil. You put the blood of Jesus over the doorpost like the children of Israel did. And when the death angel came, he had to pass over. You see, and it's the same for us. When we walk in intimacy with God, we walk in obedience to God, we walk in love with God, the doors are shut to the enemy. And we are able to say, like Jesus said, the enemy comes, but it's okay because he's got nothing in me. He has no place in me, no claim on me, no power over me. I'm under the blood. I'm covered. The doors are shut. I'm sealed. I'm walking in obedience. I'm hearing the word and I am doing the word. Praise God. And he ends it with that. He ends John 14 with that. And it's an amazing thing. And that was an example of exegetical preaching. Line upon line, just looking at what the scripture says. Praise God. And I want to say a prayer for you this morning before we go, because I believe that Holy Spirit is ever present. He's made his home in us. You're his home. You're his home. And I really believe this, that the more we love God and obey him, even the more so does our life become the abiding place of God, the dwelling place of God. He really loves to settle down in people's lives that are loving him and obeying him and walking with him, because the house is clean. There's nothing there in common with the enemy. So Holy Spirit really makes his home there, really makes his home. That's why if you want to live a life of the anointing, live a life of the power of God, all of these scriptures that we went through today are so important, because Holy Spirit will even abide more in you as we follow these scriptures. Okay, so let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, I know, Father, that your word is anointed and that your word is truth and you lead us into all truth. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would truly for each one here be their advocate, be their strengthener, be their comforter, be their counselor, be their standby. Holy Spirit, you are standing by, waiting to help at a moment's notice. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray even today, I thank you for your presence here. And I pray, God, that your home would be in each one of us. That, Father, you would so settle in us, Holy Spirit. And I pray for each one today, the supernatural abounding grace of God in their lives. That, Father, you have not left them as an orphan, but you have sent them the Holy Spirit and given them the Holy Spirit to walk and to talk and to live this life. And, Father, I pray today in Jesus' name that the enemy would have nothing in any of us. Lord, that is what we pray. And if we pray according to your will, we know that we have what we pray for, because it brings glory to the Father for God to answer the prayers of his people. So, Father, we pray in agreement today that the enemy will have nothing in us. But, Father, we will have such a submitted, yielded, obedient heart, an obedient heart, God, that causes the enemy to have nothing in us. And I pray that over you today. I pray it over you that you will have an obedient heart in Jesus' name, that you will love God, and out of that love, you will obey his word. And Lord, I ask for that grace of obedience right now, that we will obey you, God. Obedience is a good thing, Lord. It keeps us safe. It keeps us protected. It keeps us covered. It keeps us undercover. And Lord, I just bless every single one of your people this morning. And I thank you. They are not orphans. They are not alone, but you are with them at all times. And Holy Spirit, I just pray, let your amazing touch of glory, let your amazing anointing settle down on each one here this morning. Let your amazing anointing strengthen them and comfort them and teach them and lead them into all truth. We pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, peace you leave with us. Peace, Father, a peaceful heart, an obedient heart and a peaceful heart. No agitation. Lord, I just pray right now, let there be no agitation of heart, but peace in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now just say, Lord, I receive it. Praise God. Oh, let's give him praise. Let's just give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus.